civil priority. Isolation now in effect. To avoid the risk of contamination, please stay indoors and await further instructions.
Well, good morning, Tribe World. It's Ray here with yet another lockdown podcast interview. I hope you're all keeping well wherever you are, and the different countries. You'll be in different stages, no doubt. But I'm very, very thrilled to be joined by a very close friend of myself and my family, and I know a very big and important name within our tribe fandom. And so join me in welcoming the lovely Megan Alatini, best known as Java, to you and Tribe. Well, good morning, Megan.
Good morning, kia ora, malo lelei, goeiemôre, goeiedag. It's wonderful to have this opportunity to be with you this morning, Ray, and in turn, to be with our wonderful Tribe World fans, wherever they are in the world. So thank you so much for the invitation to join you this morning. It's certainly great to hear your voice.
It's lovely to hear your voice as well, Megan. And that's very, I mean, that you're linguist, that all of those lovely welcomes. What languages were those? Obviously, Kiora is a Kiwi. And what else were you saying? That was different.
Sure. We are a bit bilingual in this Cassie Alatini family of ours. So Afrikaans is actually my first language. So I said goeiedag or goeiemôre, which means good day, good morning. I also said malo lelei, which is hello in Tongan, which is the heritage that my hubby and my children have from the Pacific Islands. I spent some time in Japan, so I shouldn't forget konnichiwa. And you know, Ray, I love being a linguist. I love being able to share different languages or words, because in this diverse world of ours, if you can culturally immerse with others, whether it's culture or language, I think it's just such a massive learning and education piece. So I enjoy learning different languages.
It's interesting, Megan, because you're also a very talented singer, and it's very lyrical. I mean, languages and just you, the inflections in your voice. I mean, I, being an autistic man on the autistic spectrum, I love sounds and rhythm, inflections, and that sounded so beautiful. That Megan, so speaking Afrikaans, how old were you when you left South Africa?
Ray, I was 11 when my parents informed us that we were leaving Cape Town, South Africa for New Zealand. And to be honest with you, at the time, we thought, what on earth are our families and our parents even thinking? Because we didn't really know much about New Zealand other than what we saw on the travel brochure, which was a marae looking building, a couple of people pressing their noses together. Because we've got to remember back then in the 80s, it was about 1987, we were living in South Africa during the apartheid-stricken regime, you know, where it was blacks only, whites only, coloureds area, everything was so segregated. And so we didn't know too much about the outside world beyond South Africa. So when we learned we were moving to this tiny little island, New Zealand, Aotearoa, we were really nervous and didn't know what to expect. But I share with people often that I'm so, so grateful that my parents took that massive leap to come over to this beautiful country. I'm so grateful for that, because it really has given us as a family a wonderful grounding. And we're very, very grateful for New Zealand and New Zealanders for the way that they have embraced us as a family.
And Megan, do you still, I mean, you still feel you have family in South Africa still?
Oh my gosh, Ray, we have got such a massive family. It's this huge tribe, actually. And both mum and dad come from big families. I think both of them have 9 brothers and sisters on either side. So lots and lots of cousins. And some of our family have decided to move back to part of our other heritage, which is Germany. So we have family in Germany as well. But honestly, we are a huge family, and I miss them dearly. And I know with this COVID situation, it's very stark for our family members in South Africa as well. So if I can make a little shout out to our families all over the world that are going through these uncertain times, I just know that we are thinking of you all, and we wish you all very well.
Yeah, no, that's lovely. And how has COVID been affecting you, Megan? I mean, you're currently, just so our listeners are aware, that New Zealand went for about 102 days after the initial lockdown with no cases. And then just a couple of weeks back, there was a second wave and you're in lockdown again up in Auckland, aren't you? And are you coping well with that? How do you get through that, Megan?
Oh, you're so correct with all of them, the information there, Ray. You know, I think back to December, January. I'm in aviation, so anything to do with health and safety, we're very quick on the ball to know that information so that we can make, you know, decisions that will meet the safety impacts that's required. When I first heard of this term COVID-19 or COVID, to be honest, in the beginning, I didn't really imagine that it would impact us the way that it has. And so when we were called to lockdown, it was really, really, I was met with anxiety and fear. I really didn't know what a lockdown situation can do to someone's well-being, especially for someone like myself that is a bit of an extrovert. I love to be with people. And so to all of a sudden be in these confined spaces and really be limited with these restrictions was a real challenge. At the same time, what made it really difficult, Ray, is I can't help but feel emotions, and instinctively, if something's going really good or something's not going so well with someone in my midst, I'm a feeler. I feel it and I take it on board. So to see many of my friends and colleagues lose their jobs, lose their livelihood, be really, you know, in depressing times and not knowing how to cope with things, that was really challenging. And I have to share that I've had some ups and downs during these lockdown periods. We are in phase two now, the second lockdown, where there were days where I was just really emotional and upset. And then I'd have to pull myself back together if I was in a support role for a friend or a colleague or a family member to say, come on, Megs, pick yourself up now, be that support person. So it's been tough. And to see the financial, the emotional, the well-being impact that it's having on people here in New Zealand and all over the world, I really, really feel for all of us. And what I find beautiful is the way that I've seen people pull together. Yeah. You know, I can see people reaching in, reaching out to each other to see how it is that we can support and assist each other in this time. And so out of the darkness, the silver lining that I see is how sometimes a really horrible situation can actually also bring out the good and the best in people. And so I really want to encourage us to be on that side of the spectrum rather than the dark negative side.
And well done to you, Megan. I think that's very, very brave and very honest and nice for you to kind of state it as the way you have, because, you know, it's a difficult time really. And as you rightly say, a lot of the focus is on the physical health, which is important, people getting ill and elderly, and people that we love and the fear, but also the economic health. As you rightly say, so many people are economically, like businesses and going under and people losing their jobs and routines and mental well-being. And it's just horrendous. But, you know, there can be no triumph without adversity in life, isn't it? And there's all the cliches. I mean, it's not the storm you encounter. It's kind of how you set your sails. And what advice would you give, Megan? Because we get a lot of messages from our tribal brothers and sisters and who have looked to the tribe as a form of solace and refuge in some way. And that's very humbling, isn't it? And we're very honored and touched by that. But
absolutely.
It's really my advice has always been, I'm sure you share it, is not to be frightened to talk, to say, look, I'm hurting, I'm struggling. I need help, you know.
Absolutely, Ray. You know, I've also received lots and lots of messages from our tribe fans from all over the world. So again, thank you so much for that. Often, you know, I'm so humbled by the fact that these fans who may be going through difficult times too are checking in on us and seeing if we're okay. Yeah. And very much like you, Ray, I'm big on it's okay to feel what you're feeling. Yes. If you're feeling down or if you're feeling upset or you're feeling happy, feel what you feel, but don't let that drag you down. I want to share the importance of the courage that we should all have to be able to express that feeling. Find that support person, find those people that you love and trust, who you know is there for the betterment of you. And they don't even have to say anything in return at times. Sometimes it's just knowing that someone is there.
Yes.
But I really want to encourage all of us to be honest about our feelings, even when we're not feeling so good, and to express the support or the help that is needed, and not ever to be ashamed to say that I need help or I need you to listen to me. There have been times where I've needed somebody to listen to me and vice versa. And sometimes just sharing what you're going through can even be therapy in itself. So I just want to say to our people out there, don't be ashamed if you ever feel down or if you're feeling a bit depressed or you don't know how you're feeling. Sometimes express it, write it down if you need to, but also do know that it's okay to reach out to us also, and where we can, we will reach right back to you too.
No, that's something I agree with that. And Megan, I mean, you were speaking about living in Japan. I mean, you've actually gone through some amazing experiences in your life that listeners may or may not be aware that Megan's tremendous husband is Peter Alatini, a very famous and gifted All Black, a rugby player. Oh, and
thank you, Ray.
Peter and your family, you were in Japan on the tsunami, weren't you? And that was a horrendous situation to experience.
Oh, right. It was just, even when I think about it now, at the time, it felt like you were in a really, really good but terrible horror movie, because you just can't imagine that something of that nature can happen. You see it in the movies. You don't really expect it to happen in life. So going through first the big earthquake, and then what preceded was this big tsunami that wiped out much of the area where we lived in Kamaishi, Iwate in Japan. It was horrendous, horrific. Many, many lives sadly were lost during that time. But the Japanese people are super resilient. They are super, super accommodating and very innovative. So the way that the Japanese community were able to pull together and rebuild while at the same time supporting us foreigners who had other options, you know, we could go home and start again. But these were people who for some lost everything and family members at that too. So the way I firsthand witness how a culture can pull together and rebuild beautifully, gave me such massive learnings during my time in Japan. But when it occurred and the damage that unfolded from that devastating tsunami really was heartbreaking.
And Megan, did that post-traumatic stress disorder, having lived through or experienced something like that, do you still get affected by that?
You know, Ray, I thank you for raising that and for asking that question, because for a while there, I think I was just numb. When it first happened, I didn't really know what to do. I didn't really know what I was feeling. So I think I was in a bit of limbo and I was a bit numb. So most certainly the post-traumatic dealings happened much later for me. I'd say even a year later. You know, I found myself going on YouTube and searching videos on tsunami, or I would look into research papers about the death tolls or just the effects of that tsunami, and I'd be overcome with emotion, and I'd be a little bit weird in my operating system. So most certainly I can now admit that I did go through a bit of post-traumatic syndrome, and I'm okay to admit that now, because it was a time that I was affected. And I would be silly to say that I wasn't emotionally affected by that.
And that happened, Megan. I mean, I think that it's interesting that you'll recall a lot of the listeners, I mean, our Kiwi tribal brothers and sisters listening to this will be aware, but when we had that big 7.2 earthquake a couple of years ago, I mean, it was amazing for me, you know. I mean, I became almost reclusive, you know, where I didn't want to go to Wellington because I was worried about tsunamis. And I mean, every noise, you know, you get on tender hooks. And I do think the brain, we're interesting species, really, that how we're wired, that type of thing for you, particularly to go through that, and then your reference points today with COVID and these type of things. I mean, it's quite interesting because anxiety, fear, call it what you like, we're all born with it, and it's a good thing. I often say to my children and grandchildren that anxiety is a radar. It keeps you safe.
It's like little warning signs, hey? And I think we should heed them. So I totally agree with you there, Ray. And, you know, I was here in New Zealand when we had the first earthquake in Christchurch. And, you know, sometimes you don't know how people around you experience things. One of my colleagues, actually, she was really badly affected by the earthquake in Christchurch. And then she moved to Auckland. And I remember at times her behavior was a little bit different. And, you know, I'd look and I'd think, oh, goodness, what's going on with her today? And it wasn't until I had a similar experience that I really had to look into myself and say, don't judge what somebody's going through or how they're reacting, because we all deal with these effects differently. And it actually gave me the opportunity to approach my colleague and share with her that I could see at times with different triggers, it really triggered the way she would then react or behave as well. And just to let her know that I sensed that, and that if she wanted to have somebody to talk to, that I was there. She had a comfort animal. She has a comfort dog, so it was neat. She'd bring her puppy into the office and we'd know, okay, our friend needs a little bit of soothing today. So, you know, these different coping mechanisms out there as well. And it's just finding something that works for you.
Oh, that's right. And it is. It's quite an interesting thing because there is a collective consciousness, isn't there? We're all going through the same thing, but we're all as individual as our own fingerprints. And, you know, I was saying to everybody that, you know, people don't see things as the way they are. They things as the way they are, with the emphasis on they. And for yourself, Megan, I mean, and, you know, for myself, we and for all of our listeners, I mean, if we reflect upon that and think that it's all governed by what's in our filing system, in our minds, in our subconscious, and I've no doubt, Megan, that, you know, with the Christchurch earthquake and the other earthquake and the tsunami and then this and that, and you know, it has a bearing where, you know, it is a straw that breaks a camel's back, you know, where you can suddenly, no matter how strong you might perceive you are, I think it's important for our listeners to know that, I mean, I see it as a great strength for somebody to say, help, I need help. You know, that's
I agree with you, Ray. You know, I do think that there is strength in weakness. Yes, and it's okay to be honest or transparent about what that may be. And I think it's all part of our life's experiences, isn't it? I mean, what we're going through right now, in a year, 5 years, 10 years time, who knows how that's going to shape our future and shape our mindset and our internal system. But when we go through those weak moments, that's okay too, because from there comes a different form of strength that is built through our psyche. Sometimes we don't even know that at the time. Yes. And I have also found something else that I find really interesting, and we've talked about it lately, and it's called guilty syndrome or guilt syndrome, which, you know, I look at people who have lost their jobs or who are going through a really tough time, and of course it has an emotional bearing, of course it does. But I've also sensed on the other side, there are sometimes people that can have that real sense of guilt that I've still got my job, or guilt that actually I'm okay, and sometimes not even knowing how to deal with that. So again, I just want to share that, you know, for us to not make presumptions or assumptions just because something or someone looks okay. And it's sometimes it's just a simple checking in and asking, are you doing all right? Because what you see on the exterior may not be reflected on the interior. So we just need to be mindful of each other.
It is. It's fascinating. I was saying to my grandchildren the other day that, you know, that they're living history, really. And you know, that in 20, 50 years, whatever, when they look back, and I've been reflecting on my late mother and father, Megan, who were in the Second World War, and I was thinking, my goodness, how would it have been to live through that every day?
And gosh.
And in some ways, we are in a world war, but a war against a bacteria.
Exactly. And sometimes when it's something that you can't even see, you know, like when you see physical human war, you can see people fighting against people, as horrible as that is. In this case, and I've loved seeing some of the animations that have come through, you know, to show that spiky bacteria and what it looks like.
Right.
But I think when you're fighting a war with something that is invisible to the human eye, even that in itself is a little bit mind-boggling, isn't it?
That's right. And I think that's very, very interesting, because we're then governed by our abilities to be imaginative. And
yes.
And you know, we probably all share that your worries, your anxieties, your fears tend to be, I mean, there's an old Native American Indian thing, you know, fear. It's like it's the wolf, you know, I mean, that fear makes the wolf grow bigger, you know, in a sense. If you see the wolf, you're not as frightened because you know what it is, but it's the imagination, it's the expectation, it's that feeling thing, oh my God, I mean, you know, my son actually was saying that.
Yes, and you know, when we talk about imagination, Ray, you are the prime example of someone who knows how to use that imagination and turn it into something absolutely wonderful. And, you know, I look at having done the tribe and how you were able to come up with this concept, which many Tribe World fans have shared with us by saying, oh my gosh, did you guys know that this was happening? Because actually the tribe drew on the very messages and epidemics and challenges like what we're going through right now. So, you know, when we talk about imagination and creativity, you've been all over it, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it is, it's something that always intrigued me for a number of years in the context of building a better world and building a better life for us individually. And again, placing aside, without diminishing the hurt and the pain and the anguish and the horrendous things for people that have lost, I mean, our heart goes out to anybody that's suffering physically with ill health or have lost their loved ones or economically. It is a time, I think, you know, there's again, sorry for all these things, but in my first novel, I wrote a line that when I was very young, 20 years old, I think, when I first wrote this, and it's, you know, you can never ignore the whisper of mortality that inhabits every fading sunset. But to do that, to look at the sunset, you've got to slow down to the speed of life. And I think, you know, we're this morning to our listeners, I'm terrible technology wise, and poor Megan, I was back and forth on Skype, now we're on Zoom, and I can't work out technology, but I mean, technology, we live in a fast-paced material world with an instant, and it's good, there's nothing wrong with it, the internet, I mean, instant news, instant, where the people in the in the 1918 pandemic, you know, they wouldn't have had this instant news all the time that feeds the kind of, makes the wolf bigger. Now we're, I mean, my grandson said, oh my God, now there's an asteroid coming to Earth, you know.
I know. I think back to, you know, when we first got our mobile phones, and I was so happy that I had something that I could text a few words. And now look, we're doing virtual meetings. We're doing virtual education. And again, to draw on your tribe activities, Ray, I mean, when we did the technos, you then were talking about virtual reality. We had the goggles on, and you could imagine and pretend experience whatever it was that you desired at that time. So I think, you know, this technology is just a part of our new world evolution, and how we balance that with real life activities, I think, is really key. But I'm most certainly grateful for the fact that we've come so far in terms of the technology that we have now, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to communicate with you and the tribes out there right now. So we've got to take the good for what it does. And I guess not be too immersed in it in a way where it may have negative drawings. I think it has its place and its balance, right?
Well, that's exactly right. And that's why, yeah, we, as you rightly say, Megan, that we thematically, the technos and your character and Ram and that whole thing was a vehicle to explore the responsibility of technology and how it can, if not used correctly, it can pollute the mind. And I think there's a lot of, I see it myself, you know. I mean, I at Christmas, Megan, I wanted a phone for Christmas. Not a phone, literally a phone that I could just make a call, a mobile phone, a cell phone. Because I can't access the phone. I had one of these iPhones.
Yeah.
I'd answer it and I could read a book, I could take a photograph, I could,
you know. Yeah. Oh, I know. We've come a long way, Ray, I tell you, from the dial tones to what we have now.
It's weird. My grandchildren would say, oh, Grandpa, you know, all your phone does is you can only take a that's what I want, you know. I mean, I don't want a camera. I don't want, that's all. But it's a fascinating, and the evolution, I mean, it's, you know, I was thinking the other day, again, against the climate, Megan, you know, with... Mm. You know, with global warming and climate change and evolution and Darwin and and then people, you know, people like Richard Dawkins who are saying, well, you know, with our perception spiritually, where we become spiritually bereft, you know, or empty, where, you know, you need something to believe in, even if it's not a God, it's some kind of faith. It's,
yep, that higher power, the universe that speaks to us. And you know, Ray, when we talk about some of those, some of the darkness or some of the things that seems or appears to not be so positively impactful, you know, we talk about technology, we talk about the wars, we talk about epidemics, you know, and we look sometimes and behind it often is a person, you know, that's driven something. And I think the reason why I'm so keen to always be involved and engaged with people is because we have the ability to choose. We have the ability to choose, are you going to do the right thing by that? Or are you going to choose to do not so good? And so one of my life's missions is just to help bring out the best in people, because with the right support and the right nurturing, you know, we can frame and pave our way in a more positive light. It's not always going to be good, but if we at least have that the aura and the lining that speaks to our better selves or the better of society, then I think together we can all build better pathways.
No, I agree that yeah, it's an interesting segue, Megan, and we got some questions, but before I get to them, I mean, it's like positive, negative, good, bad, dark, or light. You know, to be happy, you have to be unhappy. You're always happy, you have nothing to compare it to. And to have triumph, you must have adversity.
Absolutely. And you know, Ray, I remember there was a time that you shared that with Peter and I. We had just come back from Japan after the tsunami. And Pete was feeling really, really unsure and really quite anxious about the fact that he may not have a rugby contract and he wouldn't have a job, so to speak. And, you know, he went through a real tough time of feeling really not as worthy, not as capable. And we came to visit you at Tirohana. And I remember you saying to us that, you know, one, remember that now you have become available. That's you right. are now available to take other opportunities, whereas otherwise you may not have been. And two, it's also okay to feel that adversity. It's okay to feel that you're a little bit worried and nervous, because from that, you can take that emotion and drive it in the direction that you now see fit. So I really want to draw on that. And thank you, Ray, because you definitely helped my husband get into a bit of a different mindset during that time and make some decisions that has actually positively impacted our family at this point. So thank you so much for that.
Well, good of you to say, Megan, and it is. I mean, I think that's what is very important, really. As you say, I mean, if you're unemployed, at least you're available. You know, I mean, it's not a trite way. It's a difficult time when you're unemployed and paycheck to paycheck. But I mean, it is, you know, I'm very fascinated with two words. and what is probable and what is possible. But very few things are probable. And I was saying, like my son was struggling the other day, saying, oh, I'm getting down. And, you know, is this going to go on next year? I mean, are we going to plane? And I mean, Megan in confidence, well, not in confidence, because I'm sharing it with the brothers and sisters. We lost our nephew a couple of months ago. He was 36 years old.
I'm so sorry to hear that, Ray.
Terrible. And that kind of precipitated a lot of heartache, obviously, and frustrations where you can't hop on a plane and console and be there for your loved ones, and very, very hard. But so there's two choices. One is that you'd fall to pieces, you know, which our nephew wouldn't want. He would want for people to, I mean, his brother is really suffering, which is very close. And through the comfort, you know, where, I mean, it's like there's nothing you can do about it. But it is, it's like, you know, you then have that kind of imagination, like Peter did, you know, where you're thinking, oh, am I ever going to work again? Am I ever going to, is it all going to come right for me?
Yeah.
It's possible that it never will, but it's not probable. And I think that's the two. Yeah. So my advice as an old man now, you know, an old 18-year-old, Danny James, Zoot, who was saying, I'm the oldest teenager in town. And in my
mind, very own Peter Pan.
In my mind, I am. But I'm still, you know, I'm still that kid in the 60s trying to build a better world.
Oh, I tell you, between you and my mum, I don't think you guys will ever age the way, you know, we look at age. You guys have remained that youthful, young hearts, minds, and souls. And keep doing that, please, because it gives us something to aspire to.
The thing, I mean, it's an interesting, and the older you get, you realize that you can draw on strength, Megan, you know, and listeners can. That the truth is, we've had COVID now for 6 months, whatever it is, 7-8 months, and the sun is still rising. You know, life goes on. Yes, there's difficulty, but people are, you know, it's amazing what you can, the human condition. We're amazing species.
I know. Just to share with them on that topic, Ray, you know, even though I shared with you earlier, you know, there's been the ups and downs, feeling good, feeling not so good. The good parts that's come in, you know, the situation for us is the quality family time we've been able to have together here at home, and the crazy games nights that we've had. Although I must say those games nights have almost turned into fights as well, because we're a competitive bunch here.
Yes.
But, you know, we've tried to look at those little moments that we can really utilize for ourselves to put ourselves in a better mind space and mindset. So the gratitude for me during this time is the ability to really draw together as a family. We got really creative. The kids were baking. And as I said, we played lots of games. We've had online activities where we threw an African party. So, we take the moments as they come.
Yeah. Megan, it's an interesting thing. And then I'll, I mean, I could speak with you all day. It's lovely, you know, but I mean, a lot of the fans get mad at me when I don't ask their questions, but so bear with me, Tribe World.
No problem. I'm ready for their questions.
But just before we get into that, it's quite an interesting thing about love, you know, and the meaning of life. I mean, you know, the COVID, tsunamis, illness, cancer, whatever. I mean, what is life, you know, philosophically? Why are we here? You know, and I believe we need to give love and receive love. Without that, we're not functional. And if you, like, I mean, I was saying to Adam, my son, I said, do you love anybody? And he does. He loves me. And that's so, and I love him, yes. And, you know, if you have love of the earth or the mother nature or music, or pets or animals or something, you've got to have love. And it sounds a cliche. It's just a word. It's a four-letter word. And that will get us through, Megan.
Oh, I so agree with you, Ray. And, you know, just you drawing on that makes me ask the question, what do you have if you don't have that? If you don't at least have love of someone or something, then what do you have? And for me, that is the key ingredient to everything. And that's what makes us tick. It's what makes us move. It's what makes us make these decisions in life. So find what those loves are and invest in that.
I agree with you. Well, no, it's all great stuff and fascinating stuff. And I'm just aware that the time is flying by, Megan. So I'm going to hook in now to some questions from our tribal brothers and sisters. And I've got
Awesome. And thank you to those Tribe World fans that have sent questions. I'm looking forward to hearing what they are. Cool.
There's a nice one actually from Fauna Weber, which isn't exactly a question, but it's a lovely just to share with you. I don't have a special questions to Megan. I'll listen to everything she'll say with much interest. I just want to say how beautiful she looks on this picture and how much I'm happy that there is still podcast interviews from time to time. It's always a great reason to be happy. I hope this will continue until all of our beloved actors have spoken about their tribe characters in their life. Now, Megan, that's interesting. That's you're doing this and you're touching Fauna just by your presence.
Oh, can I just say thank you so much for that statement. And I too think it's important for us to keep these communication lines open. Thank you so much for the compliment. Trust me, I don't always feel like I look good. I look in the mirror some days and go, "Woo, not so good today, sister." So to receive a compliment of that nature is really lovely. Thank you for that. And I do want to share that one of my wonderful life experiences was definitely being a part of the tribe. Having the opportunity to play the role of Java was just something I did not expect. We had so much fun. It was amazing to be able to do it with my two sisters, Meryl and Monique, Siva and Ebony. But, you know, we would not have had the tribe if there wasn't someone who was courageous enough to come up with a concept in the first place. So thank you for that, Ray and team. Yeah. And we also would not have had the tribe if we did not have these supportive fans who are still in support to this day.
That's amazing. So, and
now to even tune into the podcast, I just really want to make a shout out to all of the tribe fans out there for keeping the dream alive, for keeping something that is so important to us going, and for drawing on those messages that were shared during that time. Thank you so much for that wonderful compliment. I really appreciate it.
I've got one from Caroline Hoos. Good morning, Caroline. So the question is, yay, so excited for this podcast. What was your first thought when they wanted you on the tribe to play Java? What was it like to work with your sisters? Did you like to play the villain? So three parts there.
Oh, gosh. So when we were first approached by Ray to join the tribe, I think it was season 5 we joined, and that's when the technos were coming in. And honestly, I was just elated. Here I have the opportunity to be a part of a TV show, a series that is global and international. So I was elated, but I was also nervous because as soon as I saw those scripts, I thought, my goodness, how am I going to remember everything? We drew on each other. We had some wonderful training. And so we had a whole lot of fun with it. Working alongside my sisters was incredible. My sisters are two of my best friends. We absolutely adore each other. Don't worry, like real sisters, we have our ups and downs too, but for the most part, we are very, very close friends, and not just family. I count them as my closest friends. So having the opportunity to work alongside them, and at times kick a little booty at that, because I got to do that to Ebony, we had so much fun working together. We were working together. We were living together. So that was an invaluable experience for us as a sibling set. And playing the villain, man, I actually struggled with that in the beginning because I thought, oh, goodness, I know people will characterize a person by their character. I've done that. And so I was a little bit worried that people are now not going to like me and they're going to think that I'm this Java-esque character, you know, in life. But it made me have to look into a different side of me, you know, be a little bit more staunch, be a bit more assertive,
I had to do a little bit of defense training, and I had to learn to separate Java from Megan, which was easy because Java is very different to who I am as a person. So in the end, I relished playing the villain because it just was so different and opposite how I am. But so if I had to really wrap that up, I absolutely loved being a part of that show, and I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Oh, well done. That's lovely. Now, we'd have you back in a heartbeat as well, Megan. You're a joy and a privilege to always work with you.
Oh, thank you, Rain. Thank you, Caroline, for that question.
Nice question. We got one from Tinil Tanaski Tanksley. Sorry, Tinil, if I'm mispronouncing your name, but how did it feel playing the hard-boiled, no-nonsense sister? I know you like that in real life. And thank you for wearing braids. As a young black girl growing up at that time the tribe was airing, it was refreshing to see ethnic hairstyles portrayed on screen. It was validating. That's nice. So
that's awesome. Similar to Caroline's question, you know, when I was first met with the challenge to play Java, who was hard-nosed and strong, I thought, oh, how am I going to do this? Because again, a little bit different to the character I believe myself to be. But what was beautifully challenging about that was just drawing into a whole other side and reminding myself that this is a character, this is a role, this is not me. And I loved having the braids. And I have to say to Tanel, thank you so much for sharing about the ethnicity side of things. The reason why my sisters and I actually got braids was because we have really curly, frizzy, call it afro hair. And so when we moved to New Zealand, there weren't many hairdressers that knew how to deal with our hair. They just didn't know how to style it and what products to use. So we actually got the braids, one, so that we could have easier managed hairstyles, and two, also because it drew on our African culture. When we first would meet people, they would often ask, what's your culture? What's your ethnic background? And we would say African, and they'd be a little bit surprised because, oh, we didn't appear to be the dark African that maybe they had previously seen on their TV screens. But we're certainly proud of our African heritage, that's for sure. So a way for us to showcase that was by wearing the braids. And we knew, encouraged us to keep those hairstyles in the show, it was wonderful to know that we could then be relatable to other girls all around the world who also have the same hair texture, colouring, ethnicity like we do. So it became a bit of a trademark for us, really. And it meant that we didn't have to brush our hair every day. So that's cool.
Now, we got a lovely question here from Igor Stankovic. Igor Stankovic. Good morning, Igor. I have two questions. How would you compare today's pandemic with the one from the tribe? And what do your children think of the series and your character in the tribe? Have they ever watched it, Megan?
My kids have watched it. It's funny because sometimes tribe fans will actually contact the kids and share messages with them or ask them questions. And I've noticed more recently with the likes of TikTok and Instagram, it's just so much easier to share messages or share snippets. So my children have definitely seen it, and I see now even Meryl's little kiddies are watching it too. They think it's awesome, and they can't believe how forward-thinking the show was way back then. In terms of the pandemic or the epidemic, I think every generation or every time has its own. And so the one that we dealt with in the tribe where, you know, the world of adults was wiped away and we were only left with a handful of children who then formed tribes is not too dissimilar to what we're seeing happening now. You know, a pandemic or an epidemic has hit the world and we in our different tribes or in our different cities or countries, we have to work out how to best cope with that. So I think there's very similar parallels for sure.
Well, it's lovely that, Megan, I got one from Gemma Wood. Hi, Megan, what inspired you and Monique to go into the tribe series with your sister? I mean, how did that come about, Megan? I mean, just one element to that
sure.
Our tribal brothers and sisters.
I can share that with them. I used to be in a band called True Bliss that disbanded. And so we used the opportunity to then form a band as sisters. So myself, Monique, and Meryl, we formed a band called Nubian Angels. Nubian means dark or ethnic or African. Angels, we put the two together, Nubian Angels. And it was during that time that we did a bit of touring around the country for different charitable organizations and entertained people wherever we went. And I remember that we were probably going to be tapping into some of Meryl's tribe time. And we were absolutely thrilled when Ray and the production team called upon us and said, hey, you guys, we have an idea. How about if we had a series that actually drew on you sisters finding each other in this tribe world, but we're going to make it a little bit of a surprise element. And would you be keen to join the show? So I think really it was more so that you guys could still have Meryl / Ebony, and we were just lucky enough to be included in that. And again, it was such a neat, neat experience.
And Megan, I don't know if you remember, but it's interesting because, you know, I had many happy dinners with your mum and Meryl in the early seasons of the tribe. And we had a rap party once, and I first met you and thought, wow, like you look stunning. And I was aware of True Bliss. A lot of our listeners might not be aware that Megan, I mean, almost like the first Idol type of show, wasn't it, Megan, where True Bliss came together as like pop stars?
Yes, it was. The TV series was formed here in New Zealand by a producer. They called the show Pop Stars, and it was the first of its kind where singers were being auditioned all over the country to form a pop band, of which I was selected for, and we formed the band True Bliss here in New Zealand. Pop Stars then evolved into a show called Pop Idol in the UK. Pop Idol turned into UK Idol, US Idol, and so forth. But the original concept was started here in New Zealand by a man, Jonathan Dowling and Bill Telfer. And again, really, really awesome experience to have been a part of. I remember meeting you that time, Ray, and I remember the tribe characters and actors coming to some of our concerts. Yeah. And you know what we're like. Anytime there's a bit of music, it turns into a party. So it was neat to be a part of your rap party and activities also.
And Megan, it was so stunning. And again, some of the listeners, I mean, you should search out True Bliss. And I mean, and without embarrassing Megan, you guys are stunning. We've had the pleasure of having True Bliss perform at our vineyard as well as Meryl, and you're stunning.
I mean, thank you so much, Ray. We love performing together as True Bliss. So yeah, he's Joe,
tremendous singer.
Thank you. So there's Joe Cotton, Erica Tokash, Kerry Harper. We also had Carly Binding and myself. And I used to think I was the weakest singer of the lot because the others were so well-trained and so much more experienced than I was. But most certainly when you get us together, we love to harmonize. We just absolutely love being on stage together. And doing our Toast Martinborough at Te Rohana has been one of our highlights as well. So thank you for always involving and inviting us along to those, Ray.
No, and Megan, at some point I've been saying to Meryl that, you know, because, you know, we might revisit some new tribe music and get yourself and Meryl and Monique back.
I'd be keen for that. Bring it on.
That would be a lot of fun. So we'll have to look at that. And Megan, just while we're on that you've also, I mean, you've had such a fascinating life. You've been involved in so many different things that you also did very well on that Dancing with Stars, it was called in New Zealand. In England, I think it's called Strictly Dancing or Strictly Come Dancing.
But yeah, that's correct.
Did you enjoy that?
Oh my gosh, right? I loved that show so much. In terms of that type of celebrity TV shows, even though I don't particularly like throwing that word around, but it was really such a neat project to be involved with. I got to learn to dance properly. I had a fantastic dance partner by the name of Johnny. He was just brilliant, Johnny Williams. And I was gutted that I didn't win. I came runner up, But I'd say that was probably, in terms of that type of TV show, that was one of my most favorite ones to work on, for sure. And what I loved about it is, as the celebrity dancer, you're supporting a charitable organization. And my one was Youthline. So anytime someone voted for me or raised money for the show, if it was coming my way, mine would go straight to the Youthline organization that supports a youth who feel displaced or who feel a little bit like they're in need of a support network. So it was wonderful to be able to dance for that charitable organization and learn a few moves at the same time.
And Megan, you're currently, I mean, again, you diversify, which is lovely that to see you getting involved in different things. You're currently, you're doing a web series, aren't you? A podcast. And I mean, can our tribal brothers and sisters around the world, how can they find that?
Please do check it out. So Ray, with this uncertainty and with all the changes that COVID has presented us, there's an organization called ATEED here in New Zealand, and they formed a branch of ATEED called Go With Tourism. And the Go With Tourism team asked me if I would present a show called The Itinerary. And it's a wonderful project where we're speaking to and giving support, tools and resources to displaced tourist workers and industry, and really just giving advice and a platform that people can go to for that support. So if any of our Tribe World fans would like to check it out, it's on YouTube. You simply have to go to the Go With Tourism name in the search bar, and then you'll see a show called The Itinerary, which we've just launched recently.
Oh, that's fantastic. So try and check that out, Tribal Brothers and Sisters, and you'll see Megan is a much better interviewer than I am.
Oh, no, you're doing a fabulous job, Ray. It's awesome. It's been great.
I'm used to being interviewed. I find it very difficult to interview, but it is. It's like old friends having a coffee, as we said, Megan. Megan, my memory, and I was just looking on one of our Instagram questions from Elisa Portraits. How is it shooting the tribe while pregnant? I remember that you were pregnant on the series, and now that was with your daughter, is it?
That was with my daughter, Tiara. So Peter and I actually didn't think we could have more babies because I had a few complications prior to this pregnancy. But how was it filming while pregnant? It was challenging. It was challenging for me because my body shape was changing so much and I was feeling a little bit tired at times. But I think it was even as challenging for our wardrobe team because they had to keep adjusting my outfits. But what was really neat was when I got too big and I couldn't hide the pregnancy anymore, the team got me a body double. So we met this wonderful young lady who had similar features to me. And so together we could work out this kind of tag team system. So, you know, I worked up until my body couldn't handle it anymore. And then our body double took over. But it was neat to see that you could still operate to a certain degree while pregnant, and just to listen to your body to say that when it's time to call it quits, we did that so that we could keep the safety of myself and the baby as well.
I view your daughter as a tribe baby, actually. That's interesting.
Yes, that's little Miss Tiara.
Tiara's very gifted. She's a great dancer, isn't she?
Oh, well, she doesn't get her dancing skills from me, that's for sure. It must be from the dad side.
and what about your son? Is he showing any interest creatively, Megan?
Trey is actually really creative when it comes to music. He likes to give writing music a go, and he's definitely the TikTok guru in our house. But I think his skills lay a little bit more in his sporting abilities. Like his dad, he loves to play rugby, plays a bit of basketball, and we just always encourage them, you know, find the joy, find the something that you like, and then we help nurture that. So at the moment, for him, it seems to be more sports than the creative side, other than his online activities, of course.
Watching a rugby match in South Africa and New Zealand are playing, or South Africa and Tonga, or Tonga and New Zealand, who do you support?
I can't help it. I am an All Blacks fan through and through, All Black every day, all day. Thank you very much.
Isn't that nice that And now we've got one from Mrs. Schneider Fisher from Instagram. What was your favorite scene you shot in the series? Did you have a favorite scene that comes to mind, Megan?
I think the favorite scene for me is still very early on in the Techno series, which was series 5, where we meet Meryl in an underground car park. We meet Ebony, and Ebony thinks that she's had these flashbacks and that she's been seeing things. And it's where Java and Siva first appear before Ebony, and we remove the masks off our faces for her to see that it's actually her long lost sisters that are now here to challenge her. I think that's still one of my favorite scenes, just because it was played out so beautifully.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you for that, Megan. Now we've got one from Melissa Chaplin from YouTube. Good morning, Melissa. Do you have any advice for people who want to take up acting? If so, what would your advice be?
My advice to anyone who wants to take up acting or dancing or music or sport or writing or whatever that may be is, if you find joy in that, then do it. I opened up one of my little inspirational journals today, and it spoke about just being willing to give something a go. If you want to give something a try, don't have regrets by not giving it a go. Just put your best foot forward, do your research. If it makes you smile, if it gives you warm fuzzies, then go for it.
Do you have any regrets in your life, Megan, at this stage? I mean, it's easy with, we're living in 2020 and looking back with 2020 hindsight.
I talk to regrets. The regrets are taking the chances or some of the choices that I may have had and not actually taking them. Right. You know, opportunities have come my way, and fear has sometimes stood in the way of taking those opportunities on. I'm about to enter another meeting shortly, Ray, that is speaking to this very topic. There may be an opportunity to do something a little bit different, to take different approaches, whether it's with work, with creative outgoings. And what I'm trying to tell myself, and where I'm trying to lead by example for my children, is to not let fear stand in the way of potential opportunity. And the worst that can happen is that it doesn't work out or that someone says no. But if there is an opportunity before you, or even if there isn't, make one and go for it. Don't have those regrets of what if.
No, I think that's great experience, Megan. And I mean, speaking of your next meeting, I'm aware that you'll be any minute now, our hour is almost up. And I did promise that you'd never to get away.
Thank you, Ray.
In closing, Megan, is there anything you'd like to say to our tribal brothers and sisters? Anything, it's our 20th anniversary as well, actually.
Well, congratulations on our anniversary. I would like to close our podcast first by saying thank you so much for the invitation and the opportunity, Ray. Thank you so much for keeping us tribe actors going as well. So I want to start by saying that thanks and gratitude. And then to our tribe world brothers and sisters, I shared earlier that we would not have had a successful growing show was it not for the fans and for the supporters out there. Thank you so much for everything that you guys do in our tribe world to make sure that our personal journeys and the journey of the tribe continues on. During this time of uncertainty with COVID and all the challenges that we are all facing, I really ask us all to be safe, to take care, to be healthy, and if nothing else, please be kind to one another.
No, that's lovely advice. And Megan, on behalf of the Tribe World community, I'm sure I speak on behalf of all our tribal brothers and sisters around the world to thank you for taking the time to have this podcast. It's been a joy to catch up and a pleasure. And I'm sorry we couldn't get to all the questions, and if I hogged you too much for myself, but
It's been an absolute pleasure, Ray. Thank you so much. It's so nice to touch base and catch up again. Mm-hmm. And if there are more questions to be had, then you and I can have a part two some other stage. So mm-hmm. That can definitely be continued.
And I'll just in closing echo Megan's sentiments and to send lots of love to you all within Tribe World. Take care, keep safe, and as Megan said, be kind to each other. And as we were touching, don't let the imagination go. Just take it one day at a time, and all will be well, I'm quite sure. So Megan, you take care of yourself. Lots of love to you and to your family, and onwards and upwards. And we'll touch base and catch up later. But thank you very much for taking the time to have a chat. I've really enjoyed it. And
you're more than welcome, Ray. Thank you so much, everybody, and much love to you all out there. We'll see you soon.
Thank you. Bye bye for now. Bye bye.
Thank you, Ray.
Megan.